Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guests tonight are poet, writer, and photographer Alexis Roan Fancher. It's always a pleasure to have her in the studio. And poet, editor, and teacher Cynthia Atkins. And we're talking about the book that they did together called Duets.
Okay.
Alexis, it's such a pleasure to talk to you again. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here, as always.
Cynthia, it is a pleasure to talk to you for the first time, and welcome to Inquiry.
Thank you for the invite. We're delighted to be here.
I love the idea of this book, and it was fascinating as a reader to go through it. So let's talk about what Duets is, and you can take turns talking about it, or you can talk about each other. Somebody addressed to me, who came up with the idea? Somebody talk!
The idea came about sort of interestingly, sort of organically. Cynthia and I have known each other for many, many years. I'm in Los Angeles. She's all the way across on the other coast in Virginia. And we got to be friends. We'd meet here and there. And we decided about a year ago we were going to write together acrostically every week and edit each other's work and see where it went.
That's fascinating.
And the poems, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just find that idea, first of all, sending poems to each other to be edited to be a really interesting idea. That's a lot of trust in the other person, isn't it?
Well, you hit it on the head that trust is the most important thing. You trust that the person you're working with loves you, loves your work, has no bad or mean intent, and knows what they're talking about. And we were lucky enough to find that in each other. We wrote to beautiful, like, Hopper paintings and Dorothea Tanning and Rothko and famous paintings and drawings. And about 10 weeks in, we realized we had some pretty good work going on, thought about creating a book. And I said to her, we will never get permission to use these famous paintings and drawings. And she said, well, you're a photographer. You've got work. We'll just use your stuff. And that's what happened.
So did you use the works as a starting point in which poems to choose? Your photography? Cynthia, why don't you start talk? I haven't heard you.
Alexis, once we decided on the photograph, she would each week throw out maybe two photos. And then, you know, kind of I would see viscerally which photo I felt like I wanted to respond to. And sometimes we did it that way, like we just, you know, but usually responded to the same photo. And she was very gracious and often letting me pick the photo, which spoke to me. And then we would go off and write our own poems. And, you know, of course, they're very different. We have completely different voices and different voices and styles. And yet I feel like we complement each other so well because we're so different in a way.
It's fascinating for the reader because what you're reading are two very different people's responses to a similar material. And as you said, Cynthia, you're really different poets. Was that tough to work at appreciating and editing each other's poetry?
I think once we got, you know, we know each other's style and we know what each other is kind of looking out for in keeping with their aesthetic. So I think, you know, we kind of watch that out for each other. I think Alexis makes me more daring. And I think, I hope I've been influenced her in some way as well. But, you know, her work is so raw and honest, and it's challenged me in ways, great ways, to push my own boundaries. So I think we've been really good for each other that way. I also think it helped us get through the pandemic, just having
structure. Yeah. So is this a pandemic project?
Kind of started out, yes, it kind of happened through the pandemic.
It's so interesting because so many artists I've interviewed in the last several months, it's been pandemic work. As a matter of fact, I was interviewing this monumental graphic comic artist who just released a 400-page wordless comic.
Wow.
And it was It was basically a work. He'd been working off and on for about 10 years on it. But the epidemic really sort of, the pandemic really sort of gave him the final to get the project finished. That's odd to think about, that we're all pandemic artists.
Well, yeah, how could it not change us and, you know, alter us in some way as artists?
The awful thing is it altered us for the better because we had a lot of time to do our work.
True.
Isn't that scary to think about? that artists like benefited because they had to be alone. There was nothing else to do. So I might as well do work.
There you go.
Most artists I know, instead of lots and lots of money, they really just want lots and lots of time.
I know you're right.
That's all we really
want. As long as I have the time, I don't care what I make.
Exactly.
Alexis, what did you appreciate about Cynthia's poems?
I like her point of view. She grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in L.A. It's a different sensibility that's just because of the place that you grew up in. I think that Cynthia, she is an MFA. She is very much a academic poet in the sense that she's got the fruit salad and the bells and whistles and the talent. And she can share with me and show me how to become a better writer. I call myself a feral poet because I have a degree in theater with an emphasis in acting, which has done good things for me as a poet, but it is not the kind of fruit salad, I'll call it again, that one needs to make it in academia. So I just think, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Cynthia, you have an academic background. You've taught poetry at the university level. First of all, I want to ask you, and I ask this of other poets who've done similar things, is it more difficult now today to teach poetry at the university level than it was, say, 20 years ago? And the reason I ask that is it seems today that very few people or fewer people read at all. I'm amazed how many people my age and then much younger are not reading a lot. And do you find that at the university level, too?
Well, I would say that poetry has always been a challenging thing to teach. And it's either the people that love it, but you want to expand your readers outside of just poets, of course.
I think that's one thing we've let down on. I'm a child of the 50s. And when I grew up through junior high school and high school, I had tons of poetry that we read in school.
Uh-huh.
And that actually, you know, set me up so that I'm used to reading poetry. But I don't know if young people have that anymore.
And they don't even know how to read poetry.
Oh yeah. It's difficult.
It is. And yet when you say is it more difficult to teach, I'd say there's just so many different elements now in the culture. And, you know, everything is there's a lot of political correctness.
Yep.
And you've got to really watch yourself, you know, that you cross your, you know, everything. And that's just, and not that that's a bad thing either, but it's different in the last 20 years, I would say. And I've always been an adjunct professor, meaning I've never had a full-time professor gig. I've taught on the university level as a part-time, you know, really powerless in professor, let's put it that way. But I enjoy teaching that age group, and I've enjoyed teaching for sure. But I would not call myself an academic poet per se. Let's put it that way.
No, you know, especially compared to when Alexis calls herself a feral poet. You don't want to be called the academic.
Yeah, maybe I'm somewhere there in between.
Yeah, you don't want to be called the academic opposite the feral.
I think we're both Alexis and I are both outsider poets.
That's good.
Yeah, I would say both of us connect that way.
By the way, Alexis, I love that title as being a feral poet. You've never told me that before.
Well, I try to have something new when I chat with you, Mark.
I love it. I think from now on, I'm going to introduce you as the feral poet.
I love that. Thank you. It's I wear that title proudly.
You were talking before about geography and how it affects poetry, and Alexis has introduced me to other poets from the greater Southern California area. And it's funny, there's another whole group of poets that I talk to who are from the Pacific Northwest. And overall, there seems to be different sensibilities. And Cynthia, I wanted to talk to you. Do you think geography plays a large role in the nature and kind of poetry that people write?
I absolutely think everywhere that you're from, meaning geography, family, biology, DNA, I think it all plays a role.
Right.
And it's kind of a composite of those things. But there's no doubt, like, I'm a Chicagoan, you know, Midwesterner living in Southern Virginia. And I feel like, you know, a fish out of water sometimes.
Well, so, I want to make sure that we have a chance for both of you to read a poem. And Alexis, I always want to start with you. I love your poetry, and I always have. And this collection's no different. So what poem do you want to read?
Well, we each picked out two poems from the book, and my poem and her poems are each about the same photograph. And, you know, I said to my husband, I said, oh, my God, I wonder which picture he's going to hold up. And then he said, honey, there's no pictures in radio.
Well, on the other hand, there's an infinite number of pictures because it's all in your head.
Absolutely. Do we have time to each read two poems? Is that going to
Well,
work?
let's do one each first and see how much time left. And if we have time, I would rather do four poems, sure. So let's start with you, Alexis.
Okay. This was written to a photograph I shot of a threesome at a table at the Nickel Diner in downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm looking at it now.
Oh, good. Yeah, I just started writing to that photograph of mine, and this is what came out. It's called Double Timed at the Nickel Diner, downtown L.A., for Claire. Tanya raised the Coke to her lips, took a swig, mouthed the words, want to get out of here, baby? I watched as she rammed her tongue into the bottle for emphasis, her blue eyes fixed on my brown ones. No mistaking that, I thought. I'd waited all my life for a girl like Tanya, wild as the wind, the girl my mama warned me about, my best friend's girl. Terry was sitting right next to her, for Christ's sake, and she acting like he wasn't. Tanya had a habit of sucking her left thumb, an oral fixation, always something in her mouth. In my dreams, my was in her mouth. I'd wake up sticky and spent. Now she was making noises like she wanted me for real, and I admit I felt qualmish. I was raised better, and Terry, he was like a brother. But that girl had me by the balls, mesmerized, her long dark hair framing her face, flowing past her tits, fragrant like night-blooming jasmine. Hey, Terry, I said to break Tanya's spell, what do you want to do now? Terry shrugged, intent on finishing his burger. Idiot. Never could see what was right in front of him. I watched him chew. Tanya watched the clock on the diner's wall. Tick-tock, tick-tock, she said.
Okay, Cynthia?
Okay. This is Contronym Diner. A contronym is two words, the same word that has the opposite meaning. Contronym Diner. Because I pulled back my name from his tongue to ask what broke me in two, what turns a heart from stardust to chemical warfare. Because left means both remained and departed. Our bodies inflict dents in the sofa, then disappear. I know that last lost doll in the road, broken beyond repair. He found me in hell, I was a roadside bomb in a war zone. At 15, my parents junked my belongings on the molten, mown lawn. I've learned recovery depends on the thrifty pockets of grief. Before me, all the women catching a floor-length gown on fire, burning houses down. In the meantime of our lives, so many grave mistakes are made. Because bound means heading to a destination and being restrained. The man across the table from me has simple plans. He wants it clean. He feeds me soup. He takes me home, pays the rent. He muzzles his voice, tamps me down like pipe tobacco. Gasoline pours on the blueprints of all my plans. Earth is a portal. I dig and dig. My ruby lipstick stamps DNA on all the coffee mugs. Bolt means to secure or flee.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. My guests tonight are poet, writer, and photographer Alexis Roan Fancher, always a pleasure to talk to her, and poet, editor, and teacher Cynthia Atkins. And we're talking about their new joint book of poems called Duets. How can people get this book, Alexis?
That's a good question. It came out in August, so just a few weeks ago, from Harbor Publishing. It is on Amazon.
Okay.
You know, that would be a simple way to do it.
All right. Would you like to read two more poems? Because I would love to hear them if you want to.
Absolutely.
Cynthia, how about you?
Absolutely.
Okay, Alexis, you go first.
Okay. This one is kind of quirky. You
know? that's as opposed to your normal light and airy ones?
Yeah, exactly.
You know. Quirky.
Okay.
I dread to, all sorts of weird things came into my mind, Alexis, when you said quirky. Yeah, I'm sure.
This poem is made up for the man whose mother wanted a girl. This poem is rage, cage, dress up. This poem is bad intentions. This poem cannot be made right, like some makeover or the man in the dress. This poem is for the woman who loved him anyway. This poem refuses to lie. This is how he makes her up, because mother, because dead ringer. Is this how you like it? He asks them both, but not at the same time. This poem is down low, is the man's made-up life, how he's barely in it. This poem refuses to lust. This poem is for the man and his mother, how they pass it down, mother to son, husband to victim, how they escape but don't, because you can't make these things up.
And Cynthia?
I'll read mine, and both these poems were in response to a photograph of a moth.
Huh.
And my poem is called Moths. Moths. I want to write a poem that has not one seed of grief, is not a pocket or vestibule for tragedy. I want my cavities to growl and ooze with a hypnotic sweetness in the flickering din of a summer night. Diaphanous and full of trill, like the crystal clear idea that comes after waking from the duende of sleep. Now the coffee is stirred, a reflective ping from the deep mouths of spoons. The inner flutter dispatched by a DJ with an all-night radio show, slinging lofty tunes, making my crinkled skin downy, old as a shirt washed too many times. Insect wings fling into pigtails, girlish in the wind. A world where no one has a curfew or a coffin. I want to write the skiff of that poem, but I hear a racket on the other side of town, in kitchens where mothers and moths congregate under lit fixtures of civilization. Meanwhile, like dark bats in basements, their sons are cleaning their guns.
Those are two great poems. For completely different reasons. I want to mention that, again, to emphasize, the photographs which are included in this volume were taken by Alexis. Alexis, about these photographs, are they hand-tinted?
No. No, they're not.
How come the color looks like paint? Like, a lot of your photography looks like a painting.
Well, thank you. I do use certain programs, you know, in post-production, as we say, little Photoshop here.
Cool.
There's a wonderful app called Snapseed that can be put on your phone, and you can process. You can do so. A lot of those were done with my iPhone, just on the iPhone.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
And I want to mention the thing that I've been waiting for years now is going to come out next year, a book, like a coffee table book of your portraits of poets.
Yes, L.A., Southern California. I think it's close to 100 poets.
Now, Cynthia, I read in this book that the two of you sort of got together because of your affinity for Robert Altman's film, The Three Women.
Yes.
I really like
that. You are.
I really like that film. And I can remember
we'll
when it...
We'll watch it together sometime because, yeah, we have an affinity for that film for some reason, and it brought us together, so it's good to meet other fans.
I just want to talk to him about it because I think within his oeuvre, that's his oddest, most strange and surreal film.
Oh, definitely. From Janice Rule down there in the empty swimming pool, painting murals, and Cindy Spacek, who is just, oh my God, the ultimate naivete. I mean, this is a very strange and wonderful film about women. And
it
I
is.
Have a giant one sheet, original one sheet, in my hall that's framed from that movie. And Cynthia saw it, and that was the cement of our friendship, I think.
I think the paintings that are in the pool of those weird lizard people
are
they're etched in my mind from the first time that I saw the film. And I think it's his most poetic film. Although,
yeah.
And I love most of his films, but I think that is the most poetic of his films.
I agree.
These little moments when, like, Shelley Duvall, her little skirt, every time she gets in the car and you see that little edge of her skirt coming out of the door. I mean, just a little quirky. And that's why Alexis and I, our book is so quirky and strange. We love that.
But sometimes when you say the word quirky, that sort of dismisses it. Because I think this is different. I think it's different in the most positive sense of the word, and it's unique. And it's one of those things, as a reader, I sort of didn't want it to stop because I like the juxtapositions of the different points of view. And I would read them in pairs. It's sort of like that, boy, this is sort of an interesting I wonder if you could do it with other people. But you would have to have a lot of trust in the other person. So you couldn't just do it with anybody.
Well, no,
right.
not with anybody, but I know Cynthia and I have almost like a posse of poets that we trust with our work. And for me, it takes a village, Mark. I write, and then I send it to one poet, and she sends it back, and then I send it to Cynthia. And, you know, in the end, I send it to Ella Rain because she's the grammarian, and she can catch anything that's wrong there. And then I have a poem. But I'd say 2, 3, 4 people, right, Cynthia?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it gets workshopped in its own way, you know, as it gets passed around. And, you know, then you take and leave somebody's comments. But it's nice to hear from a few people, just, you know, oh, that image really works or that really doesn't. And
I think poetry might be the only kind of writing that has that kind of community. Because I certainly haven't interviewed, I interview mostly nonfiction people. And they're not shopping anything around to friends. As a matter of fact, they don't want anybody to know what they're writing, lest they steal their idea. I get that all the time. When I ask an author about what you're working on next, they said, "You're not recording, are you?" And they don't want other people to know it. So it seems like unique. And the other thing I can tell Cynthia about Alexis is Alexis has recommended many people that I interview. And those people end up recommending other people that I interview too.
Yeah, and that's his community. That's the way it should work. And, you know, I think one thing about voices and radio right now, just like you can be online and social media and talk online, but once you hear someone's voice, there's nothing else like, you know, the uniqueness of a voice. I really appreciate it myself. I call myself a voice expert. I can hear somebody on television from 20 years ago. I know who that person is.
I know that.
A voice is a very unique thing,
it is.
I think.
And I know that really well.
I've been your radio show.
Well, we're out of time. My guests tonight are poet, writer, photographer, Alexis Heron Fancher, the feral poet, and Cynthia Atkins, poet, editor, and teacher, who was also, in her own way, odd and an outlier. And we've been talking about their wonderful new joint book, Duets. I strongly recommend it. Alexis and Cynthia, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mark. It is always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, Mark. It's lovely to be introduced by our wonderful mutual friend, Alexis.
You've been listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.